one thing that the tankers have told me, and that I guess I've heard from other
armored units, yeah,
is that the 82nd took a lot of. There were a lot of horrors, you know, the guys shot in the trees.
Now, see, in Normandy, word went around that they were doing this and that, atrocities to the paratroopers. So naturally, I think that was deliberately set that way. So that, in other words, you fought twice as hard to not be taken prisoner. You follow me?
Yes.
But there were cases, guys were shot hanging from the trees. Myself, if I'd have been hung up higher, and it was daylight, they would have, if they came close enough, would have blasted me in the tree. That would have been it. But I made sure I got on the ground very fast. I was going to stay there. It's like that poor guy there in Samburg Lease in Steele. Got hung up on the thing there. Every year they put a parachute up there, you know. And hang a dummy.
I heard that they turned that into a cafe.
You see, we go back there. We went back there. My wife and I with the group.
There was a church, yes.
Yes, the church. In fact, we go to the church there. When we're there, they have services. No, we give a little contribution.
Everything. Oh, okay, no, but there's a restaurant named the John Steele.
Oh, yeah, next door.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Sure,
okay.
There's a lot of them, yeah. Well, that's built up now, the town, you know. That's built up. But when we go there to Saint-Marie, to Chef DuPont, they treat us just like family. We stay in their home.
Uh-huh.
We sleep in their beds. And they said, geez, you see the mother and father's bed? Oh, no, you sleep here. No, yeah, you sleep here. They treat us unbelievable. They're just like gods. Now, we'll go back. We'll be billeted with private families. Because there, see, they made arrangements already. Because it's like going up in the Adirondacks. What do you have up there? You have nothing. In order to accommodate a lot of people.
Sure.
So the British, what they've done, they've already made arrangements with the, what is it, QE, Queen Q, or whatever it is. So they'll be all billeted on that boat. The different units.
Uh-huh.
The British paras, the British tankers, and whatever. Then each day they will come into shore with the things and participate in all the celebrations. We'll be billeted with private families, and then we'll be billeted for whatever celebrations, you know.
Just one more time, describe for me that moment when you left the plane, jumping into Normandy, because it was kind of...
I slipped on the vomit. Somebody had puked up, you know.
Uh-huh.
The guys were nervous. Everybody's nervous. You get up, and you push. You're pushing tight one against the other to get out as close as possible. Not like they show in the movie, one guy jumps and another guy, you'd be 10 miles apart because you're going 18 men or 24 men in the plane. And in those days, today it's different, they jump a different system, you know, different type plane. But if you had 18 men in a plane and you had, let's say, 100 yards between each plane. Figure that's 1,800 yards. That's a long distance from one guy to the other guy.
Sure.
Before you can assemble. So you're going out one on top of the other. You're actually pushing. One guy's pushing the next, right? You know, you get in line, you're pushing. You hook up and you're pushing and you pivot at the door. And as you pivot at the door, you go out. And the next guy right on top of you. You just go out like this, boom, 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 like a production line. But the vomit on the floor, my foot slipped. As I slipped, I went down. The next guy on top of me, right? And I'm up against the door. In other words, up against the door. My feet, and I'm hanging out upside down in the plane. And I'm pushing the belly of the plane, trying to get out. In the meantime, boom, boom, guys on top of me. Finally, I slipped out.
Guys are hitting you with their feet
on
the head?
Yeah, they're coming, sure. Uh-huh. You don't stop. And I finally flipped out. It was only maybe a second or two.
Yeah.
But boy, that was like hanging there forever. And hanging here. I'll end up, my chute will be torn loose or something. Then I'll go down, goodbye with no parachute. But anyway, that split second, and then it opened up. And then I just, boom, a ball of flame. Everything all lit up. So that's when the plane got hit. And then I come down.
So when the plane got hit, it exploded?
It must have. Because it was a big flash, like, And part of that unit, that squad was missing, so that they might have probably all killed or what. Later on, if they were wounded, taken prisoner, wounded, taken away.
And you were with one of the first to go out of the plane, or?
I was, what position was I in? Oh, that's why I tripped. I was the trip man.
The trip man?
The switch for the bundles. See, when you're jumping, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like the ninth man trips the bundle, so the bundle's in the middle, and the men are stretched out, they work to the side.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's why I tripped, because the hesitation to trip the switch, that's when I slipped with all the weight behind me and I went down. Hmm. It's a good thing I went out that way, that I didn't fall down and go to the back of the plane, and I would have never been able to get out until, you know, climb up later and then jump, and then if I jump, I'd be a mile away, 5 miles away from the others.
And how much did the material you had on your weigh, about?
Good 80 pounds or more. Yeah, good 80 pounds. We figure 80, but some of us had more, like with the demolitions, we had demolitions on us. That was an extra pound of TNT, 2 pounds of TNT and 2 pounds of plastic C.
And you were a demolition man, weren't you?
Demolition man, also.
So you had all that extra stuff, too?
Yeah, I threw it away, the hell with it. I wasn't going to drag that stuff through the brush. I was out for one thing, shoot and kill the German or get killed, one or the other. I wasn't sure as I was going to be hauling equipment all over France. But the first day was the whole thing, you know, was the fear. Then you organize your mind better after that. Then you got slowly organized into the unit, and then you got power. Mm-hmm. But the first fear is when you only have one or two guys, three guys, then you're almost helpless. I mean, you're in a unit, in an area where there's maybe 40, 50, 100,000 Germans. You know, you just don't like the movies. You say, well, let's see, now we're going to slip through here, we'll slip through the Germans there. Now, things don't work that way. Look at the one guy there, Colonel Mendez. Now, he's a colonel in charge of a whole battalion. He ended up with, I don't know, it was about a dozen men. Where he landed, he was so far away, and they had to fight their way all the way back until they finally got to Chef Dupont.
After you got rid of the excess equipment, what did you keep?
Well, you keep your bandoliers, your ammunition, your food, your musette bag, because that's your, you know, toothbrush. You get. But the landmine, supposed to get them and collect them into an area. By the time you get all the concept of getting it, it's all right if there was no enemy around for 20 miles. Then you get all your pile of mortar rounds, your pile of mines to be later on when the officers decide we're going to mine that road or that bridge, you follow me? In the meantime, you worry about making a pile of that stuff, and you got Germans all around, you got to be nuts.